Buffalo Comic Con, we have Synthaholics.
Synthaholics.
That's the best I got.
Nice.
Oh, we have a scream in there.
The fear. It's real at Buffalo Comic Con.
Yeah, so there are a lot of people here. A lot of people dressed up as Joker or Harley Quinn. A lot of video game people. You're moving the mic away from my face. And I'm trying to sell comic books and show off my artwork right now. And Dave's right next to me in the booth right next to me, and he is trying to promote the Synthaholics.
Excellent. Sounds like you guys are doing two tasks at once.
Yes. Well, Dave's making me do that right now.
Well, Aaron made me watch his table while he was at his panel. I had to sell stuff I wasn't aware of. To people I didn't know. I'm like, oh yeah, I can tell you about the comic. I can tell you what it costs.
Aaron, do you trust him with his responsibility?
I didn't really trust him, but I thought it was the best person for the job at the moment.
And he didn't even give me the money box. I had to go to somebody else for the money box.
I didn't want him to run off with the money box. Yeah. I didn't want him run off with the money box, so.
So you gave it to somebody else. So, hopefully we can lure in some victims to do the show and just talk about their favorite thing about Star Trek. I've had a couple people I've talked to who said they would come back, so let's see if they actually do or not. Maybe some people walking by. Anyone walking by? Anyone like Star Trek? No takers yet.
I saw that there was a guy walking around with a Next Generation uniform.
Yeah, I saw him earlier. I gave him one of the cards for the show.
You didn't talk to him?
No, I talked to him. I gave him one of the cards, and we talked briefly.
Come on, man.
So we're back on recording now. We're live at the Buffalo Comic Con. This is my name is David.
My name is Brian.
And this is my co-host.
Hi, Brian. I'm Kate.
So you would stop by the table, and I asked you if you like Star Trek, and you were saying you like a little bit of it. So what do you like about Star Trek?
I think I like the, I think it's either Next Generation or, like, the very first Star Trek. I think the thing I like the most about it is the original style of the Enterprise, and especially Captain Picard. He's always been my favorite captain.
So you like the original ship, but you really like Picard.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Did you like any of the films?
I did like the very recent Star Trek Into Darkness. I think that was a really good twist on the newer Star Trek franchise.
So you like how Khan was the bad guy?
Yeah, but then he ended up being the good guy. To a certain extent.
Until he flew a spaceship into a whole bunch of buildings.
Yeah.
Does that make him a good guy or a bad guy?
Definitely a bad guy at that moment in time.
But at least he helped him.
He's trying to be a good guy, but for bad reasons.
Yeah, definitely.
So, let's see. So, you have any questions for him, Faith?
Oh, no, I find it interesting that more and more people seem to really relate with Khan, especially in Darkness, because, you know, yeah, he was doing these horrible things, but he was clearly doing it from a humanitarian perspective, so that's really neat that people are looking at that more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, because the other couple people we've talked to also talked about Khan, so that seems to be a pretty often occurrence. But thank you so much for coming to speak with us. Are you having a good time at the Buffalo Comic Con?
I am. I am currently cosplaying as Nathan Drake from Uncharted 3.
That's awesome. I love Uncharted.
Hey.
You get the pins and everything, too.
Yeah, I got these.
Oh, that's cool.
Somewhere around here. I can't really remember.
Nice. Very cool. Well, thank you for stopping by and talking with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have a great time.
Thank you. So, My name is David, and this is my co-host, Faith.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
And you were just telling me you love Star Trek, and you were trying to tell, I guess, your daughters?
My daughter, my son, and my daughter's friend.
And I was need to tell them that Star Trek, they need to listen to watch Star Trek so they know it's nerdy.
Well, and it's awesome.
It's awesome, but it's also a huge part of geek culture.
It is totally a part of geek culture. You have to watch it.
Definitely.
With to be a proper nerd, you have to watch Star Trek, Star Wars, and the Dune series. You have to know all those three. Those are the top three that you have to be a proper nerd to do.
I haven't gotten.
And I'm not talking new Star Wars either.
Oh no! Captain Kirk, the original.
You have to go with all the original stuff, and then you get to Voyager, and then you get to Deep Space Nine, and then you do Enterprise. But you have to start with, if you don't suffer through the original Captain Riker series, all of that. Not a proper nerd.
So what's your favorite Star Trek?
My favorite Star Trek is with the little puffy things, and I can't think of the name right now.
The Tribbles!
I love that episode!
My favorite Star Trek movie is The Wrath of Khan.
Definitely. We've heard that a lot, actually, this morning.
Favorite one.
Did you like Star Trek in the Darkness?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Did you like Star Trek in the Darkness?
No, because it was kind of just like Star Trek Wrath of Khan. I was expecting a little more from that.
I wanted it to be a little bit more different, too, but it definitely wasn't bad.
It was a good movie, but I was kind of like, wow, you just remade it and put younger people in it.
Yeah, a little bit.
They did some damage to Earth that we didn't get to do before, so hey, props for that at least.
Good point.
So, we're hoping we can like kind of put this into an episode with the different people we speak with today. So, we got cards here, so you can check it out, listen to it.
Thank you so much.
All right, and can I take a picture of all of y'all guys?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Okay, Faith, I don't know if you heard him, but this guy said his Star Trek knowledge is good, so
somewhat good.
So did you want to try and stump him? By the way, what's your name?
Michael.
Michael, nice to meet you. Did you want to ask him something, Faith? You want to do a Star Trek trivia with him?
Well, let's start gently first. What was your favorite series? Which one did you prefer the most?
That's a hard one. I'm going to have to go with TOS. TOS.
Nice. Why?
I don't know. Just me and my dad used to watch when I was younger. So, I mean, that's probably why, because I used to watch with my dad a lot.
What was your favorite episode?
Oh, it has to be either the Space Seed or a Mirror Mirror.
Wow. That's really cool.
Those are both awesome episodes. Although
they really are.
Although Devil in the Dark is definitely one of my favorites up there.
Oh, that's another good one.
It's a nice one that you can get people into without ever seen Star Trek. It's just a really good story.
Yeah. I tried showing my friend the Space Seed after he saw Into Darkness, and he's like, this is so boring. Like, there's no action. This is, like, boring.
It's about story. Star Trek is more than about...
Action.
You're supposed to engage your brain.
Yeah.
Yes, feed your brain.
You're supposed to think about it. If you're not walking away from it, if you don't walk away from it going, wait, I need to think about whatever differently, then something's wrong and you're not tuning in properly.
That's funny.
Exactly.
Or you stream something.
So my question of Star Trek trivia is, do you know who wrote the first words in Klingon?
Oh, that would be James Doohan from...
Yeah, that's good.
Scott. Nicely done.
That's good. Live long and prosper, guys, out there. So, did you have one for him, Faith?
Actually, I'd kind of like to know his personal opinion on the different versions of Klingons. Which creation do you prefer?
I feel that they're both the same, but they're just, like, of different regions of the planet.
About the Into Darkness new take on Klingon should look? What did you think about that?
You barely got to see much of the Klingons in Into Darkness, if I'm remembering correctly, so...
They were just in there very shortly, but they didn't really have any facial hair or hair at all. They were bald, and They look like tribal with all those piercings.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't really see the Klingons too clearly to really see what they look
like. He was watching Khan. He was looking for Khan.
Yeah, I was looking for
Khan. He's there somewhere. We know he's there. So,
where is he? It's about to be an epic moment.
Oh, jeez. The ending was like, you could have did something different besides having Kirk die and then do a full reversal of Spock, or Kirk dying instead of Spock, instead of the other way.
They definitely could have done without that.
Yeah.
So, let's see. You said your favorite episodes. Is there a specific Star Trek moment you like the most? Like specific moments? Because, like, I really don't like Star Trek V, but the campfire scenes are just great moments in Star Trek V.
Yeah, the campfire scene from that one was hilarious, I would have to say, because they're all sitting around drunk, eating beans, and...
Getting drunker while eating beans, because that's the secret ingredient.
It's a secret family recipe. That's on the side of the can, if you didn't know.
Were you having a good time at Buffalo Comic Con?
Yeah, I'm having a good time here.
Awesome. Well, definitely, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks for your time. Good catch. Well done.
We asked what the favorite show was. Name one, at least.
If I have to go with my favorite episode, it would have to be The Best of Both Worlds, Part 1 and 2, which is usually everyone's go-to, because it leaves you with, your captain's gone, he's assimilated, he's no part of the ship, and then you have Riker sitting there going, F. You know what? Fire. You know, as soon as Guinan talked to him, kind of said, you know what?
I've been waiting for this day.
Hey.
How many promotions do I need to get before I actually take one?
Oh, it's so good, so good.
That's cool. Basketball court's good.
Did you go to the Fathom event where they had them split together?
No, I had to work, unfortunately.
It was cool, except it took all the tension out of that moment where Riker says fire.
Because what it builds up to.
Yeah, I know, but they changed the music because they made it one giant long episode. And because it was one giant long episode, all that tension and the music, the dun 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 dun,
that's
is gone.
Makes it great.
It does. It loses something being edited into one
it's
giant episode.
Like, all of a sudden, it's like crap. And then just Mr. Worf, fire. It don't work anyways. But
it didn't work.
Yeah. Oh well. It didn't work. So it made it really anticlimactic.
It's like, oh, he knew what was going on, so the boy already adapted to it.
That's why you will never sit in the captain's chair.
Ah.
Until after you've completed all 7 seasons and 4 movies. Then you get your own captain's chair in the books.
That's right.
Captain by Captain, novel 4. That's all right. It's all right. He defended himself when they did the, what was it, Nerd Court or something? One girl was like, I call William T. Riker to the stands. He is, they actually, no, she just said that he was just nothing. And he actually came out and defended his character and turned it around.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The courtroom drama?
Yeah, the courtroom drama.
That was hilarious. That was really good. Like,
what was the one where they had him, Picard had to defend himself about why he didn't release the virus for the Borg?
Oh, an iBorg?
Yeah, was that the one?
Yeah, because Guinan, again, it seems to go around like she's some sort of conscience of the ship.
She's Star Trek's Next Generation's get out of free jail card. If they can't explain anything, Guinan, they don't have to explain it anymore, even though they still didn't explain it.
So he sits there, and then what? Freaking Nicheo comes over and like, why didn't you do this? Slaps him around a little bit. And like, come on, really?
Well, what was that? What was the one with?
Come on, Nicheo. Why don't you, if you hung around and cuddle a little bit, maybe I'd be more.
Or how about when Tasha Yar came back in
Yesterday's Enterprise.
Yeah.
Good
and
episode.
And Tasha's like, you're not supposed to, or not Tasha, Guinan goes, you're not
supposed
to
be
here.
Here.
You're dead.
You're dead to me.
the bartender went crazy.
Wait a minute. We're at war. No, you're dead.
You're dead. You're
You know, freaking garbage bag monster killed you.
And then she goes to Picard.
The skin of either.
He's like,
season one, episode 8.
Yeah, but he's just like, you know.
The best episode ever. Tasha Yar's not in it anymore.
Armistice Roulette.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Yeah, Deanna lived through the whole thing.
Well, funny thing is, like, I heard that Troy was actually going to get kicked off the show. If one of the women didn't leave. So this is like, I guess, happening during the filming. And so, like, so Tasha left, and then Gates McFadden gets fired. And then so she's the only woman left anyway. But if they didn't, they would have kicked her out because she was, like, the least essential character.
Oh, so that's what happened to Gates McFadden? I thought she was just like, you're not doing anything with Crusher, and then we'll bring back Pulaski.
Oh, no, she was, like, she kept complaining that the show was very misogynist to women, and, like,
not. Don't even understand that.
I mean, in the first episode, there's a guy wearing one of those onesies. How can you be misogynistic when that guy is showing more skin than freaking Deanna Troy did?
Exactly.
That's a lot of light for a guy.
Yeah, he's just sitting there, he's just like,
walking through, walking
this way.
In the first season, you see several of those guys.
Yeah.
They kind of disappear.
Boom, done. They're like, we don't want the onesies anymore.
Well, she didn't like, she said it was sexist toward women. And I'm just like, what? And then you know, I guess Pulaski didn't work out, so the writer that she didn't like left, and that's why she came back in season 3. Yeah. Because, like, they were butting heads, and I guess she wasn't there to butt heads with her anymore, they were able to bring her back. It would have been really confusing if they'd gone with a third different doctor.
Actually, I'm one of the only people that I know that like Dr. Pulaski.
She's made the Data, and that makes her bad in my book.
You like Pulaski? I didn't mind her at all. I mean, a lot of things that she did with Worf.
Hey, it's David at the Buffalo Comic Con. I'm with Catherine. And we've just been talking about Star Trek in general. She gave me a really amazing idea for an idea that I've never heard of for Star Trek Into Darkness about killing Chekhov.
Now, I quite like Chekhov as a character, but in the end, Wrath of Khan has always been about loss. Kirk lost the battle, he lost Spock, and it was kind of the first time he ever really walked away from a fight and didn't feel like a winner. And I think in the case of Into Darkness, it would have been a great lesson for Kirk, because what did he really learn after the end of Into Darkness? That, okay, if I die, you know, magic trouble blood will bring me back, so whatever. But if Chekhov had been killed, it would have been a real double blow for Kirk, because he would have lost a crew member, and it would have been indirectly his fault, because he promoted Chekhov to that level, and Chekhov tried to tell him, I'm not ready for this position. So it would have been kind of a ballsy move. And because it's a reboot, you would have also had the timelines vastly different now, because this guy isn't here anymore, and he was a main character. So again, it just would have been, like I said, would have taken quite a lot of balls.
We don't have a guy to get the nuclear power from the nuclear vessels whenever they go back in time. You were getting ready to say something about Deep Space Nine, a theory you had too, and I was like, oh, your Chekhov one was such a cool idea. I want to hear and get this one on tape too.
Sure thing. My thing was, with Bashir being an augment, I think it would have been really cool for Bashir to find out about it when the audience did, rather than knowing about it for his whole life. Would have been made for some great character development, because it would inject doubt into his very confident personality. Is this me, or is this the fact that I was genetically augmented as a kid? Who am I? It would have created some real depth to him.
Oh, so you were thinking it would be better if they had him, us know it from the first episode?
No. Rather, when we find out, like, in, what, season 4, season 5?
Yeah, whenever his parents come on board.
Yeah. And the thing was, I think it would have been more interesting if Bashir didn't know either.
Oh, if Bashir didn't know too. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I actually think it's a really good theory or an idea, but I think it's a better arc. I wish they would have told us maybe earlier in the show, maybe around season 2 or 3, yeah. Because what I like about Bashir is that he's got the biggest character change arc from almost anyone in Star Trek at all. Because he starts off as a panty puller,
And the first two seasons, anything that's got panties or, you know, skirt on, he goes after, like, not without a second doubt.
Even if he has to float to get there.
Yeah, even if he has to float to get there in a nice zero-G room. he is just so focused on it. And then his character, like, becomes way more likable as the series goes on. And he kind of grows up. And then as soon as that ball drops, he's almost a different person immediately, which is great.
I don't know. See, I think they could have at least told the actor, because I think it would have colored his performance a bit to have a secret, you know, not necessarily like going shifty eyed after every shot, but just it probably would have tempered the performance a bit to have that in there. It got dropped on him when it got dropped on.
Oh, and Alexander Siddick hated it. Yeah. I heard he really hated that whole idea. And I mean, I guess it feels cheap as an actor. Oh, I was this good all the time because I was an augment. But, you know, he missed that question on the test, which everyone, every time the test comes up, everyone says it's such an easy question that he missed that maybe he did it on purpose. And it sounds like he did. And even though they probably didn't write him as an augment at the beginning, like, I feel like the way his character changed and progressed and they've mentioned makes you double-guess it.
Absolutely. I mean, Bashir is easily one of my favorite characters in Trek just for that arc, because he was this fun, exuberant guy, and then it's like, you know, this stuff is real. It's not just glamorous, and it's not just the frontier of medicine and making a name for yourself and getting famous and being memorable for like that. It's more about doing your job, doing it right, saving lives.
Exactly, and he is so exuberant, and he just becomes grim and grim and grim, especially during the Dominion War, when he's, like, spouting C-3PO, like, statistics to people, like, yeah, we're going to lose.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the things the actor did, too, where he deliberately underperformed scenes where they tried to make him act more like Data, and he just kind of botched the performances on purpose, so it didn't happen as much.
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of see that, too. So, having a good time here at Comic-Con? I guess you just got here.
Actually, my friends are vending, so I've been here the 2 days.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Yeah, I've been here all day yesterday, too. Well, thank you so much for talking to me, Catherine.
Oh, thank you for having me.
This is my co-host, Faith.
How are you doing?
Hi.
What's your name, sir?
Chris.
Doing good.
So, you're here.
How's the con, Chris?
It's not too bad, actually. The con is actually really nice. I'm happy I'm here.
So I saw you were working one of the tables earlier. What are you working on?
Basically, we're just selling comic books for one friend, Chris, who has close to $1 million collection right now. So I think it's a really great opportunity that he's given us to sell comic books. And really, I don't think it's about the pay here. I think it's more about the experience with the books. And I just like dealing with them. So it's a really nice environment.
So, you stopped by the table. Actually, I'd seen you when I was walking by earlier, and y'all gave me the Vulcan salute. So, what are some of your favorite Star Trek? What's your favorite movie or series?
The original series is my favorite, just because it's a classic. It's the original. And some of the corniness or cheesiness sometimes for the filming, just the way they did it, I think is absolutely brilliant. And I love it, really. Maybe even better than Star Wars.
I definitely like Star Trek better than Star
Wars.
I like them both.
That's impressive.
Trekkies are a dying breed, unfortunately.
You know. We got to get the new young blood in.
Yeah, there's not too many.
Dying but defiant.
I see a lot of people dressed up as Jedis, but you don't really see too many, you know, people dressed up as Trek characters, which is kind of sad, I think.
It's very sad. I saw a couple kids, but not that many yesterday at the con.
I got to get back to my table, unfortunately.
All right, well, thank you so much for stopping by.
Great, but yeah, it's really nice.
Thanks. Thanks, man.